Millennials want engagement, passion. They want a full, rich life. And when I say rich life, I don't only mean money. I mean great relationships, great health, great experiences, great travel, a great place to live, just great all around. And great comes from how you think. Period. End of story. There is no other source.
Beliefs drive your life. If you're consumed by worry, fear, and self-doubt, it can wreak havoc on your career and ultimately your personal happiness. Fortunately, we can influence how we think. And today, Kim Addis, a frame of mind coach, joins us to show us how greatness comes from how you think. This is Everything Speaks.
Kim, thank you so much for being on Everything Speaks. I'm so looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to get started. Let's go.
So, Kim, you call yourself a frame of mind coach. First of all, explain what that means so we all understand what you offer to your clients.
Well, when you think about coaching, mostly what we think about is helping people achieve their goals. And usually that revolves around creating a plan and then helping people take action to achieve all the things that are on their plan. That's not what we do.
Okay.
What we do is we look at how a person thinks and how their thinking leads to the results they're getting, both positively and negatively.
Mm-hmm.
So the premise here is that the way you think, what you believe to be true, how you see the world will profoundly impact your outcomes over and above any other factor. And so if you want to generate a different result or achieve a certain goal, before taking any type of action, it's really important for us to understand how you think and then see if your thinking is even aligned with your goals. And most often what we find is people who struggle to reach their goals usually have a thinking problem.
Really?
And, yeah.
Interesting. Because, you know, we always say, and I say, you know, stop trying. Don't do try the same thing over again. You already know what's going to happen. You got to try something different.
Right. So there's an expression, right? If you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got.
Yeah.
But it's flawed. It's flawed.
So you know tell why? Me
because,
more.
Because the real expression, or the better expression, is if you always think what you always thought, you'll always get what you always got. But people don't even stop to examine their thinking. They just try something else. They just take another action.
Interesting. So, you know, in my work, we do double loop learning, which goes back to not just what did you do and what didn't work and what did work, but then what were your assumptions? So is that the same thing, challenging your assumptions, what you thought was going to happen beforehand, or are we talking about something totally different?
Certainly there, you know, we are definitely looking at assumptions, but we're looking at something a little bit deeper than assumptions, which is what do you believe to be true?
I see.
What do you believe to be true about yourself, about the way the world operates? How do you think things should be? And how does that cause you problems or pain?
Mm-hmm.
And so on. And so we're looking at a much deeper level, often at a level that the client isn't conscious of, and because that's where it all operates.
That right.
Your beliefs drive your outcomes, drive your behaviors. And if you're not conscious of your beliefs, really hard to make sustainable change.
Right. And are there commonalities you see between men and women, or between ages, or between backgrounds, or is everybody different?
People are different in their stories and circumstances and situations, but people are fundamentally the same in the fact that their beliefs drive their life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I have different beliefs, and that's okay, but very often the beliefs we have are fueled by the same, let's call it insecurities, or the same self-doubt, or the same worry, wonder, fear, etc.
I'm just so fascinated by this, and it's really talks more about, instead of just a career, a life, right? A life of, and you, before we pressed go, a life of spectacular.
Yes.
And I think it really absolutely speaks to most of our audience, which is millennial, who, you know, don't have this concept of work-life balance as it was first discussed so many years ago, that at 5:30 your work would end and your life would start, but really talk about life, work-life integration, and yes. the whole totality of a person's day, as opposed to, oh, I got to go to work 9 to 5, blah, blah, blah. Is that true?
Well, let's go back. Okay. So you use the word, the concept work-life balance. Let's talk about balance for a minute. A lot of people ask me the question, you know, how do you, I have 5 kids.
Oh my goodness.
I run a company. I have a family in Montreal. I travel a lot, speaking engagements. Like, I'm super busy, right? Mm-hmm. And so they ask me, how do you achieve work-life balance? And I say, that's not my goal.
Right.
And they say, well, what do you mean?
Right.
I say this. So let's just pretend we're going for a walk in a park and we see a seesaw and we see 2 kids on the seesaw and they're in perfect balance. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening when they're in perfect balance?
When they're in perfect balance, it means the weight and the tension and gravity is the same on either side.
Yeah. So what's happening?
Nothing. Everyone's just staying
still.
Nothing.
So, is that what people really want? No,
right,
that's not what people really want. What do people really want? They want to feel engaged. They want to feel ignited. They want to feel passionate. They want to feel appreciative. They want to feel like, wow, I live a great life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not balance all the time.
No, never, 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 never.
Right? So can there be moments of nothing? Sure, but not a lifetime of nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And so
that is brilliant.
Right? So to help people look at things a little bit differently creates a completely different game. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we're here to do. We're here to change your game. So millennials don't want nothing. Millennials
no.
want engagement, passion. They want a full, rich life. And when I say rich life, I don't only mean money. I mean great relationships, great health, great experiences, great travel, a great place to live. Just great all around.
Yeah.
And
true.
Great comes from how you think. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. There is no other source.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I just had actually in my company, I hosted a group of young women in call at Scripps College yesterday here who were, you know, very assertive, have high goals for their career. I think they were sophomores and juniors. And I wish I had talked to you before then. But, you know, if you had that group of young women here in front of you and they were all sort of wondering, oh, and I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot from college students and people who are just starting their careers, like, oh, my gosh, did I make the right decision? And I always say there's no bad decision. Like, you can't make the wrong first job because you can just leave it. You know, you can
right.
go get another one.
Right.
I don't think you should do that like the second day on a job unless you're at risk, but you know, whatever. What would you say to that group of women who were, you know, they're excited but they're anxious about how they should think about starting off their career on the right foot?
So to me, the word anxious is always interesting, and I want to know what they're anxious about. What do they believe could be a problem for them?
Mm-hmm.
And the things that they're anxious about are the things they think about, are the things they believe to be true, and that's what needs to be addressed. So I want to look at this concept of anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety among millennials these days. And so what is the source of their anxiety? It's their beliefs. And what I want to do is address them. But over and above that, can anyone make a wrong decision? Sure. You want to know how? If you make a wrong decision and you think it's a wrong decision, then you have doubt. And it's
right.
the doubt that makes it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So my greatest advice to anyone is make a decision and get 100% behind it.
Mm-hmm.
100% behind it. Because when you're 100% behind your decision, you turn that decision into the best opportunity ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not 100% behind it, you're already, it's like this. Let's say you're an Olympic racer, right? You're a runner and you're at the starting line and you're like, okay, I'm here. I made the decision to be here. I practiced and I did all my prep for this, but gee, man, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the guy beside me is going to win. So you're, before you even get to the starting line, you have all this self-doubt. What's your likelihood of winning?
Very low. Yeah.
Very low. And so the way you get to the starting line matters.
Right. Well, that's why visualization in sport is so important, right? People see themselves winning. People see themselves passing the ball. People see themselves, you know, scoring the goal, whatever. And when people first started doing this visualization work, you know, they're so much scoffed at. But there's been a lot of research in sport and athletes who about this the power of visualization, the power of seeing yourself cross the line first or whatever it is, and its correlation to results. And what you say, you know, there is data. There is data in athletes behind this. And if we just extrapolate to the workplace and our lives, you don't have to be a, you know, an elite athlete to take the advantage of your thought process.
Right. I mean, we can use this to look at careers. We can use this to look at relationships. Like, you have millennials, maybe they're, you know, thinking about getting married and they're not sure. Finally, they say yes, but they're still not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Don't do it.
How good is that marriage going to be? How good is that marriage going to be
right.
if you're walking in and you're like, man, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So
however,
true.
if you walk in and you say, okay, I've made the decision, therefore I'm going to get 100% behind it. And no matter what is going on, I'm going to do everything I can to turn this into something good. Same goes for work.
That's awesome. All right. We're going to take a moment for Millennial Minded and we'll be back with Kim Addis.
Welcome to Millennial Minded. My name is Duncan, and today we're talking about being an emotional train wreck.
Hi, I'm David.
Expert resource. You like that, huh?
Oh, I make myself laugh.
So what do you, when you feel kind of emotional, what do you do with those emotions?
Well, I like to think that I have enough self-control to, like, discipline myself to get over my bad feelings, but I feel like last week was an example that I can't do that.
Here's the thing. Do you get over them or do you repress them?
Someone's making ice cream in the office, if you can hear that. I don't know. I feel like I try to get over them, but then I just get really short with people.
Well, here's what's kind of interesting.
Duncan is really good at this, and it's kind of frustrating.
Well, no, here's what's interesting. David and I had a little disagreement. Did we not? We had
yeah.
a little.
5 minutes ago.
And, you know, you had a point of view. I had a point of view. And
the person who was going to mediate the two and pick a side went with Duncan. So I got left in the dust. I'm just back here.
But that was interesting, right? That was like, I think we did an okay job of it. Well, we talked it out. There was one point I was like, we could just let this be and be like, all right, that's it. But then I really wanted to get to the bottom of why you felt the way you did.
Why I was crying. Here's the thing about Duncan. Duncan's a pusher and he's not going to let something rest. He wants to get it resolved, right?
Not typically, no.
Really?
No.
All right.
So it was kind of a rare instance where I was like,
okay.
For whatever reason, I was like, we need to figure this out.
Okay. I usually am a person who's totally fine
with conflict. Why do you think I'm a person?
I'm a person who's totally fine with conflict, and the older I get, I think the more comfortable I get with it. So I don't mind having those conversations. The thing that worries me is I tend to get too emotionally invested, and I don't ever want to come across, even if I'm not upset or not mad, like even when I joke with people, I tend to just get emotional because I'm a theatrical person, and
right.
so like my emotions tend to run the gamut and they tend to be over the top, and so I think I come across sometimes as being overly emotional when I'm like, no, that's more on humorous.
Which can work to your advantage. It shows you care.
Yeah. But anyway, I think I need to do a better job. And I think that that's difficult for everybody. But I think to your credit, Duncan and I have talked about this before. Like, Duncan is really great to go out and take walks. Or, like, you have to find that thing that allows you to keep everything in perspective. And if that's, like, going out and taking a walk or
And just to interrupt
breathing,
you really,
whatever.
Really quickly, and that's a huge theme of this episode is, contrary to popular belief, you can actually, to some degree, control how you think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which a lot of people feel reactive and something happens and it sets you off on this emotional roller coaster.
Yep.
It is actually possible to. It's hard. I mean, no.
And don't use the excuse that you can't do it. It's difficult. But it's your job to learn your personality enough to know how to temper that.
Yeah.
All right.
That felt good, huh?
All right. So until next time.
Goodbye.
And we're back with Kim Addis, who, if you haven't just captured her passion for spectacular and the passion her belief in the fact that our thought process can help us be spectacular, have the great lives that we all want, then please go back and listen to the first part of this podcast again, because you weren't listening. Kim, you know, your energy around this, your excitement, your belief in people. When you first talk to somebody who wants, you know, you're talking to high achievers, people who seek your kind of coaching out are already, you know, they're probably not negative Nellies, right?
Well, to be honest, even high achievers can be unknowingly negative.
Ah, tell me more about that.
High achievers have very high standards. And mm-hmm. when other people don't meet their standards, what happens? They get critical, they get judgmental, they get frustrated, they get disconnected from others, they get a little edgy. And mm-hmm. why? Because those people are slowing them down. They're getting in their way. They're not aligned. And so even high achievers, I see, have friction with the rest of the world mm-hmm, at mm-hmm. times, because the world doesn't operate always as they believe it should. It doesn't move as fast.
Right.
It doesn't help them get to where they want to go as quickly as they want to get there. And so, you know, yes, they're positive, obviously. They're driven. They're focused. They are high producers, but sometimes, emotionally, they're in a state of friction, or what I mm-hmm. call turbulence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that turbulence is a reflection of how they see the world, how they think,
right.
how they operate.
So what's the first question you ask new clients?
Well, before I even get a client, I want to know what's going on that's causing them frustration or pain. Mm-hmm. What do they want to change in their lives? Mm-hmm. What aren't they happy with? Like, usually people come to me because they want to be somewhere where they are not currently.
Right.
Maybe they want to be earning more money. Maybe they want to start their own businesses. Maybe they're working in a corporate environment and they feel overlooked or underappreciated. Maybe they're in a marital relationship where, you know, things were good to begin with, but now they're not so good. Maybe now they have kids mm-hmm. and things are stressful because, you know, you have kids.
Yeah. Yes.
And maybe, there are lots and lots of maybes, right?
Right.
Maybe they run a company or they're a leader in an organization and they're frustrated with the people working underneath them, that they're not rounding them up or moving them in the direction of the company or the vision of the leader, and
right.
so on and so forth. So the first question I want to know is, what's not going right? What's mm-hmm. happening?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's our starting point.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, one of the things that we do when we coach people is we do two really different things that most coaching companies don't do. Number one is, like, we coach people for 6 months, but the first 10 weeks are profound. What happens in those first 10 weeks is that there's a call once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Every call is recorded, and we ask our clients to listen to the recording before the following call.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So that they can hear themselves speak.
Mm-hmm.
So they can hear the language they use. They can hear the stories they tell. They can hear their emotional state. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to help them master their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to give them access. We're trying to give them a position of observation so that they can start to observe how they show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't change anything if you can't see it, right? Impossible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're helping them become intimately knowledgeable about how they think and how their thinking affects their outcomes. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is we ask our clients to journal in a mm-hmm. private online journal every single day for those 10 weeks. We
wow.
start off with a journaling question. We ask a critical question, and that gets the ball rolling. And every time they journal, their journal goes to their coach. I have a team of coaches who reads and responds to the journal. And that's happening every day. Can you imagine talking to your coach every day?
No.
No, but look at Olympic athletes. How much time do they spend with their coaches? Every minute of every day.
Yeah, so true.
Right? Why? So that the coach can know their athletes inside, outside, and upside down. That's the only way they can help them make the kind of critical adjustments that enable them to be at that level of performance.
Right. And how much journal is it? Journaling for 10 minutes? Is it journaling for however long it takes? Is it an hour a day?
Yes. Right. So how I ask you a question. I say, Lee, you know, tell me about your mood today. Mm-hmm. That could be a 2-second answer or it could be a 20-minute answer, depending on you and what's going on for you today.
Right.
Right. And every time you journal, your coach reads and responds. So it's a dialogue you're having with your coach. And why the dialogue? Well, on the coach's side, the coach wants to understand what's underneath it all. We're going down, we're digging deep, and we're doing it fast. And on the client side, they're telling their story. They're expressing themselves. Like, when do people get to talk about themselves? They don't.
Right.
Right. And so what happens is clients move very fast over a pretty short period of time because of the intensity of the exchange.
Right.
You know, it's about the relationship you have with your coach. Mm-hmm. Normally, when you think of coaching, you think of therapy. And what do you think of? Well, it's an arm's length relationship, right? Mm-hmm. You're the client. I'm the coach. You sit in the chair and I listen. No, that's not how it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's awesome. Here, it's the relationship that helps the client travel.
Got it.
To where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. If people felt that they couldn't afford your services, what would you tell them to do to help them, you know, move this quick? Well, maybe not this quickly, but move from, you know, this thought process that's getting in their way to an open thought process about their beliefs that helps them achieve their goals.
Okay, so I'm going to answer that question in two ways. Number one is I never want anyone to feel that price is ever an issue that would prevent them from getting coaching with Frame of Mind Coaching. So we have all kinds of coaches at different levels of experience, and we will find a coach that will meet your budget. So that's number
one. Good to know.
Number two, and this is very important, if someone says, I'm just not ready for coaching, I want to do this on my own, then my greatest piece of advice is to start journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And is it okay if I give people a journaling assignment?
Absolutely.
Like a starting point? Okay, so guys, write this down.
I'm ready.
Take a piece of paper and a pen or a paper. And question number one, what do I really, really want? More than anything, what do I really, really want? And that could be a tangible thing or an intangible thing. It could be, I want to make more money, or it could be, I want to fall in love. Whatever it is, write what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, why do you want it? Mm-hmm. How will it impact you in your life if you have what you want? And number three, what's stopping you from having what you want right now? Write all the reasons down. And I will tell you that all those reasons are your starting point. That's mm-hmm. the point where all your beliefs start to surface.
Right.
And that's what needs to be addressed. Because if your beliefs don't line up with your goal, forget it. Game over.
Right.
So I'll give you an example.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right. A person might want to start a business. And one of the reasons that they haven't done it yet is I don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the belief is there's no money available. I can't ask anyone for money. I'm not experienced enough. I don't know how to approach anyone, and on and on and on. And all those items are simply limiting beliefs mm-hmm. that are getting in the way. And each one of them addressed creates miracles.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us? Is your passion for this out of your own experience in this transformation, or did you just come out of the womb this way?
Well, I probably did to some extent come out of the womb this way, but no, you know, I lived a life and I've had my own, you know, what I have found, and this is, I'm going to back up a bit, is that people who achieve the highest things, and again, the richest life, let's call it, mm-hmm. are people who have a high degree of emotional resilience. Mm-hmm. In other words, they've experienced adversity, but they have something inside of them that allows them to bounce back quickly and leverage their adversity. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. That's what we do here at Frame of Mind Coaching, is we fortify people. We help build people's emotional resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my own experience, I've been through life. You know, I was married, got divorced. That was hard, mm-hmm. very hard. And when I went through my divorce, I journaled every mm-hmm. single day, sometimes 2-3 times a day. And I found that the journaling was like a source of oxygen for me.
Mm-hmm.
But like life happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what do you do when something hits? What do you do when you experience a blow? So absolutely, Frame Line Coaching, it was born out of my own life experience. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. You know, we find, I find in my work with younger millennials, so 18 to 24, you know, they haven't, a lot of the people I come in contact with my work, haven't had a whole lot of adversity until they get to the workplace, right?
Okay.
Because they've been in, you know, education, they've been in college, they are well taken care of by their family, they're high achievers in the education sense, and then they get into the workplace, and what, you know, their whole life in education and what they've been told does not bear fruit in
yep.
the office, right? And this is one of the biggest friction points in the office between generations is, you know, oh my gosh, these people are so, you know, so entitled. And my belief is that they're not entitled. My belief is that they're ill-prepared for what the reality of work is. Part of the issue there is just redoing a reset with everybody. And here, as someone shows up into an organization, it's a clean slate, and you have to fill that slate with expectation and
yes.
And beliefs in that person. Obviously, if you hired them, you believe in them. You didn't just
yes.
hire some loser off the street. They came through
yes.
a process. You believe
right.
in them. At the same time,
yes.
you can't imagine that person knows at all what your culture is, even if you've told them, knows at all what you expect in terms of behavior, right?
Yep.
You know, we expect excellence. Well, what does that mean? This is what
yep.
excellent means in our company. This is what
yes.
Being a team member means. This is the behavior we expect. And that's really where companies fall down over and over and over again, is not in articulating the behaviors they expect from their employees at all levels in tangible ways, so that particularly someone who is new to the workforce can, you know, it's a shock to the system. You know, the biggest shock to the system people have in the white collar workforce is sitting down for so long, right?
Yeah, actually, that's very true. Very,
right?
very true.
Sitting
very
down
true.
For so long, and then, you know, kind of stuff. And what they believed would be true in the workplace is often not. And it's disheartening. So when you think about that situation, how would you approach somebody who is disheartened by their first employment?
Well, there's two things. Okay, so we can work with the millennial and help them acclimate a little bit better and help them to look at that gap between what they expected and the reality and make some adjustments there, certainly. But I think the greater opportunity is, how do we work with organizations and really create a coaching culture where
mm-hmm.
leaders understand how to bring these millennials in, how to work with them, how to leverage their strengths, how to address problems if they exist, and how to coach them into that state of excellence
mm-hmm.
at the corporate standard. And I think that by and large, you know, the biggest gap exists between, you know, yes, you're right, they're not equipped, they don't know what to expect, they come in and they're sitting on their butts all day long. You're 100% right. You know, there's this unfamiliarity, but there's this also lack of experience, lack of know-how at the leadership level
mm-hmm.
that when someone new comes in, what do you do with them?
Yeah.
How do you bring them along? And so there's a huge opportunity for organizations to increase their coaching culture.
Yeah, absolutely true. Totally agree. You have been so generous in offering our listeners an opportunity to assess their frame of mind.
Yeah.
Tell us about that offer and what people should expect from engaging with you.
Okay. So if anyone wants to be somewhere different, they want to make more money, they want to get a promotion, whatever, wherever you are, if you want to be somewhere different, the single most important starting point is to understand where you are now. Right.
Mm-hmm,
so I don't want you to take action. I don't want you to start moving forward because you may be facing the wrong direction. And so, right. And so very important to understand your starting point, and that's what this assessment does. So there are two kinds of questions in this assessment. There are like scale of 1 to 10 questions, and more importantly, there are journaling questions. Mm-hmm. And what happens with this assessment, it makes you stop and say, what's going on with me? How do I feel about things? How do I see things? Mm-hmm. And that assessment goes to one of our coaches who sits with you for a whole hour to review your assessment and helps you to understand what the gaps are and really the reason why you find yourself struggling. I can't tell you how many assessments we've done and how we get feedback for people saying that one call alone made a massive difference in their lives. You can't move forward unless you know your starting point. So important. Best place to go for it is assessyourframeofmind.com.
Wonderful. That is so generous of you. Thank you so much for offering that.
My pleasure.
So everybody, I want you to listen to this podcast twice. I want you to listen to this now and hit refresh and listen to it again, because I think if it doesn't hit yourself over the head, all of us want to. I don't know anybody who doesn't want something they don't have. Is that right? Yeah. And I think if we start with what's getting in our way, what is our sense of mind? Where are we? Kim just breaks it down and so inspirational in terms of the potential for every single person to have the life and spectacularness, greatness that they want. So Kim, thank you so much for joining us. I'll have all these links to her and her LinkedIn profile, which I highly recommend you go to her LinkedIn profile. She posts and publishes on LinkedIn very often, and it's all awesome stuff. You will get a moment of inspiration from everything you read from her. And I hope you come back sometime, Kim, and we can talk more.
I would be delighted to do that. Anytime you want me, well, I'm there. Let's do it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Until next time.
Hi, friends. I don't know if you know this, but Double Forte has a pretty exciting thing happening next week. We are turning 15. And in honor of our birthday, we have a very special episode coming at you. So make sure you tune in on the 12th and check out our first ever narrative podcast.